bless some wood. So glad you're here. Let's stand and worship together. We're looking forward to that day. We're caught up with him in the clouds. Sing about it. Well, I've heard.
Well, I've heard about a place not made by any man. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, where the rescued love to dance. And I've heard about the angels singing to the Lamb. We are bound for, we are bound for the city of joy. Side by side. Well, I've heard that there are colors that no one can describe. We are bound for, we are bound for the city of joy. Oh, what a day that is gonna be when our Savior we shall see. Suffering is finally destroyed. We are bound for the city of joy.
I love this verse. Well, I've heard.
Well, I've heard about a day when that trumpet sounds, the sky will crack wide open and our feet come off the ground.
Good morning, Preston Wood. Why don't you go ahead and take a seat as we are going to baptize this morning 8 believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we begin with a wonderful couple today, knowing Christ now in this faith, united in Christ. This is Steve Finley. Steve, are you following Christ in baptism today because you know you trusted him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is Cindy Finley, Steve's wife. Cindy, are you following Christ in baptism today because you know that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon that profession of faith in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is Natalie Guzman. Yes, a high school student in our student ministry. Natalie, are you following Christ in baptism today because you know you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon that profession of faith in Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Another student out of our student ministry, this is Grace McIntyre. Grace, are you following Christ in baptism today because you know you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon that profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, I got to tell you about this gentleman right here. Turn around right here for me, Larry. This is Larry Schlaffer. Hang on. All right, now look, Larry is CIA, retired. And so I don't even know if this is his actual identity or not. He's been undercover for many years. He tells me he is 81, but he looks 61. So I think he's undercover just a little bit. He's also, we're talking about veterans today, a Navy SEAL. So he's used to water. And I just had a great time talking with Larry. Met him a couple of weeks ago, and he told me he wanted to be baptized and join our church. And Larry, we're grateful for you. We've got them this morning from age 7 to 81 following the Lord Jesus Christ in this testimony. So Larry, but the most important thing about Larry and any of us is not that you're CIA or even a SEAL, but that you're a man in Christ. And Larry, are you following Jesus because you following Christ in baptism because you know that you have trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon that public profession of faith, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And this is Nathan Stripling. He is a high school student as well. Goes to Rock Hill High School up in Prosper, Frisco area. And Nathan, are you following Jesus in baptism today because you also know that you've put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord?
Yes, sir.
Upon that public profession of faith in Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is my friend Roxanne Whitehead. Her parents lead in our ministry here, in our media ministry. And she is a wonderful, brand new follower of Jesus, age 7. Our little ones go to the new Christian class, and she has an entire life to live for Jesus. So Roxanne, are you following Jesus in baptism today because you know that you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Upon your public profession of faith in Christ, Roxanne, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this little one is Piper Graham. She is our grandchild. Grandchild of the McCoys as well. Wonderful, sweet, dear family in our church. This is Josh and Katie's second daughter. It's the second daughter I've baptized out of Josh and Katie's family. It's the third grandchild I've had the privilege of baptizing. But Piper, this is your day, and we celebrate with you. So I'm asking you, are you following Jesus in baptism because you know that you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Let's pray together. We thank you, O God, for salvation in Christ, that you have said, let the little children come to me, and you have said, let everyone come to me who will find you and follow you, because you have sought us out and loved us and brought us into your family. We thank you for each one of these who now have their lives to live openly and publicly for Christ. We pray that you would bless them and keep them in your name and for your glory. We thank you for your church today to gather at a place like this, at a time like this, to celebrate like no other place in all the world. We pray that today would be the salvation day for many others and for all of us, Lord, in your church, in your family. Let us worship you and praise you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Would you stand with us as we continue in worship this morning? Sing about his faithfulness.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. Give of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing
his faithfulness.
Faithfulness, and I will rest in your
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I don't know what's brought you here today, but God has an incredible plan for you. Whether you're online or here with us this morning, I'm going to tell you, some of us come through a broken road to be where we are today. But God is faithful when we say yes and amen. Amen. Will you take a seat for just a second? I've got a couple exciting things that are happening. It's been a big week. My name is Mike Goddard. I am the superintendent of the Prestonwood Christian Academy System of Schools, home of the state champion marching band champions. Sorry, yes, thank you. I had a chance to be the guest drum major yesterday. It was terrible. Rhythm is not, you know, when God given out characteristics in heaven or whatever, when he was creating us, rhythm skipped me. And so our kids, in spite of me, they did amazing yesterday. We've had a great and successful, really, fall, as many of our schools have as well, around the area. But we're so thankful to be back together and face-to-face in many senses. And we, our football team, made it to the next round of the playoffs. Our volleyball team's in the state championship. Not that I'm proud of them or anything, but we're awesome. I'm just saying, it's incredible. And so we're excited about how many great things are happening. And you know what? It's a busy time of year, yes? You starting to feel it? How many of you have your Christmas tree up already? Amen and God bless you. I love you. People, there's 40 days to Christmas. Y'all need to get with it, all right? How many of you are at least playing Christmas songs already? Okay, the rest of you, we need to be praying for, all right? It's coming. And let me tell you, we've got an exciting thing that's happening. 28 years we've been working with Operation Christmas Child and having an opportunity to fill these boxes. This is an empty one. I need some people to be able to start filling these boxes, because what we have is an opportunity to fill these boxes and change a life and show them the love of Christ. So right out here you'll see we've got an opportunity to be able to fill the boxes or pick up a box. You've got all the way till next Sunday to be able to do that. And so be looking for that out there. How many of you have done that already? You've already started filling a box, so thank you so much. I've heard, as a matter of fact, I've heard that for every box that we give and a child has, up to 7 people are impacted by the love of Christ. Isn't that awesome? What a great way to do that as a family and have a testimony. Now, I see some guests out here as well, and I want to welcome you, and I will tell you there was a time where I was a guest many, many years ago, and it changed my life forever. And as I shared in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, God's got a path for you, and you're here for a reason and a purpose. If you're a guest, we'd love for you to text us at 74788. Just text the word guest. Matter of fact, you can come see us at Guest Central right outside, and I'll even give you a free meal down at Main Street. Now, some of you members for 20 years, that doesn't count for you. I just saw your eyes light up, okay? So that doesn't necessarily count. But I will tell you, we had an incredible week here as well. We had a chance to celebrate Veterans Day this week. And I will tell you, we've got some incredible veterans in the room here and online. If you're a veteran, will you stand up for us real quick? We'd like to celebrate you. And those of you online, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your service. We love you, and we thank you for your service and what you mean to our country and those of you online. Over 50 countries are joining us. We thank you for people all over the world. So veterans, thank you. This is an incredible video to show you our Veterans Day celebration, and will you join me as we watch this?
November 11, 1921, 100 years ago, the United States commemorated the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. From that time until today, 100 years later, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier has stood as a constant reminder of the price that has been paid by so many. As we pause to remember, we are so grateful people standing before you, God, for life, for liberty, the pursuit of happiness that is our country. For the greatness and the glory of the American dream and the hopes and the promises of not only the past but the future. We know that you are the founder and the creator of this nation, and we are in your hands. So Lord, we give you praise that you came to earth so that we could have eternal life and the ultimate freedom and forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And we pray that if there is anyone among us who does not have that assurance today, that they would turn to the real and lasting cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and find hope and liberty and life in Him by His power and by His resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It really was an incredible day on Thursday, Veterans Day, and just want to express my appreciation, obviously, first to all the veterans here and abroad and wherever you are, and those who are serving our country this day around the world. Thank you for protecting us and providing for us the opportunity to live and worship and experience America, which is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And we're grateful for our country. It's worth defending. It's worth defending. We had a couple of men, Greg Booker and Blair Thomas, who lead our veterans ministry, military ministry, who put all this together with a team. Our incredible staff down in Main Street, Michael Oney and Chef Robert Austin put it all together. We had a team. I don't know if you noticed, but all those tables were in red, white, and blue. It was just beautiful. We had a glorious day to celebrate our veterans and to consecrate our lives to Him. This is the time of the year. We've got, 6 weeks to the end of the year and a few weeks till Christmas. Thanksgiving is just ahead of us, and that means this is a time for missions. And we always focus, we're always on missions, 365, 24/7. It's about Christ and the mission of Jesus for our church. And that's locally and globally and nationally. And so we have partnered with many mission organizations in order to get the message of Jesus and the mission of the church fulfilled. On the screen, I just wanted to show you, when you're giving your mission offering, and I'm going to ask that this year you give an incredibly generous mission offering. We're buying all these gifts for one another, and that's great. Love to celebrate. But let's always remember the people who need Jesus. And just some of those, I asked them to put up some of the logos of the partners that we have. And there you have some of them right there. There are 22 different partners on my ledger here. And many of these grew up right in our church, were birthed right here at Prestonwood. Some have been added on. We are a Southern Baptist church, so we support the International Mission Board, the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest missionary force in the world. Also, the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, planting churches. And along with that, all of these local projects and missions and national, our Prestonwood Network, PowerPoint Ministries, and on I could go. We're reaching literally around the world with the gospel of Christ. So I can get behind that, can't you? And I want to get behind it with my prayers and get behind it with my possessions. And Deb and I will be giving a gift this year. We want it to be the best gift that we can possibly give, and generous and sacrificial. I would encourage you to do the same. Thank you for being here today. It's a very special day for all of us. And it's the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day. And we thank you, God, for your presence in this place among your people, that as we gather in your name or gather across the world looking at screens, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would bring us together, that your message would be clear and real and relevant, because it's all about you, Jesus, and it's all about the people that you love. Thank you for your church. Thank you for this church. May it be supported generously and sacrificially by your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains.
Thankful for the blood and the forgiveness of Jesus. Why don't you sing this with us?
When the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I the sacrifice.
this song of praise ever rise from my lips, from this moment till we're face to face.
Take your Bibles, please. Let me see how many Bibles do we have in the house today. Wonderful. Always bring your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, let me encourage you just to take one from the pew rack in front of you. And know that at Prestonwood's Bookstore, we have an incredible selection of Bibles. And I would encourage you to go by. It's a great gift, by the way, to give to people at any time of the year, but certainly at this season of the year as well. So take God's word and turn with me to Romans, the 9th chapter. Romans chapter 9, this is the essential gospel, our series in the book of Romans. And today's message is all about the sovereignty of God. The sovereign grace that we just sang about and the superlative glory of our great God. We're going to be talking about themes such as man's responsibility in view of God's sovereignty. We're going to be talking about predestination and election, and we're certainly not going to do anything but skim the surface. People have been talking about these issues for two millennia, and we're not going to solve some of the questions that I know you may have regarding this truth of both divine sovereignty and man's responsibility, which is side by side in the scripture. Both are true. But really, this message is about the nature and the character of God. It's all about Him, who He is, and what He does for His own glory and for our salvation. Beginning in verse 14 of Romans 9, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. You will say to me then, what does he find fault? Why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded, that is made, say to its maker, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel to honorable use and another to dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Why? In order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. Let's pray. We ask you, O God, to now open our minds and our hearts to your word. Speak to us by your Spirit these words that are eternal life to all who believe and trust in you. And we pray that those who in this very room and watching wherever they are would find this grace today to be found of you and to experience eternal life and your mercy and your grace and your glory, which is forever and ever. Amen. Here's the thing about life. It's not about you. It's all about God and his purpose for our lives, for your life. The title of this message is Chosen. The fact is, God wills to choose and to use whom he pleases, always. And at first, he chooses the Jewish nation, calling out Abraham, and through Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. As a matter of fact, earlier in this same passage, if you're in, and I hope you are still in Romans chapter 9, he speaks of the privileges of the Jewish nation, the people of Israel. And here's what he says regarding these privileges. Verse 5, to whom belong the patriarchs? Let me back up. Verse 4, they are Israelites, and to them they belong the adoption, that is, Israel is called the children of God, God's chosen people. The glory, speaking of the Shekinah, glory and presence of God in the wilderness, in the temple. The covenants, the Mosaic covenants, the Davidic covenants, the Noahic covenants, all the covenants of God in the Old Testament. The giving of the law came through the Jewish people. Moses, as the hand of God, gave him the law. The worship and the promises. So from the promises of the prophets and the patriarchs, the great people of the Old Testament, to them belong the patriarchs and their race according to the flesh, is the Christ who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. God made the Jewish people and chose them and gave them through the law, through the prophets, through the patriarchs, through this people, the glory of his love. And the purpose of his call to Israel was to be a light to the nations. And so God raised up the Israeli people, and there is no explanation for the people called Israel. There's no explanation for the survival of the people of Israel except for the plan and the purposes of God. And this is all fulfilled in Christ, because through the Jewish people, through the Jewish nation, came the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world. I was speaking to a driver this past week who was taking me someplace, and I asked him about his faith, and he said, I'm Jewish. And I said, that's wonderful. and said, "My best friend is a Jew." And he said, "Really, who's your friend?" I said, "His name is Jesus." And it's true. We have been given the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. We have been given the moral law of God. We have been given the blessings of the people of Israel to the world. They remain steadfast in their nation, called again, restored in 1948 as the state of Israel. Again, I say there is no explanation for the survival of the Jewish people but by the hand of God who has kept them and preserved them. We're looking forward to going back to Israel. We put pause on our trip to Israel this year due to travel restrictions and all the rest, but we're going next December 22, so you can start looking forward to that. Because when we go, we see our history, and not only our history, but we see our destiny. So God chose the Jewish people. He chose Abraham of the peoples of the world. Among Abraham, in the family of Abraham, he chose Isaac, and from Isaac's family, he chose Jacob rather than Esau. And this is God's prerogative always to choose, because ultimately it is his plan and his purposes, his predetermined plan that fulfills his desires for all of the earth. This is what Romans is all about. That God has saved himself for himself a people. The theme of Romans is that we are not saved by works or religious morality or race, not what we earn or deserve, or man seeking God, but always God seeking man, God seeking us. That this salvation is not received through nationality, whether Israeli nationality or American nationality. Christianity is not an American religion. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all the world. And the Jewish people misunderstood and they rejected Christ. He came into his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God. But God made us for himself. And therefore, I want to speak to you briefly about God's predetermined, predestined rule. Because as we were reading this passage here, we realized that everything is centered and controlled by him. And always, always, our focus in life, our focus in our witness, our focus in preaching the gospel should never be centered in ourselves. So often today in our generation, there's so much about us. How to have a happy family, how to have a great marriage, how to have a successful career, how to be fulfilled in your life. But the Bible and the message of God reminds us that we will never be fulfilled, we'll never be happy in life until we discover God's purpose, God's plan in our lives. That it's not about us, that it is about who he is and what he has done for us. And knowing God is the purpose and the pursuit of a lifetime. Who is this God? Someone wrote, "The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the intention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father." The greatest pursuit of your mind and heart is to pursue the knowledge of God. Paul said that I may know him progressively and ultimately perfectly. To know God is not to just know about him, but to really know him. And he has revealed himself in the person of Christ. That's why he came in great glory and in great grace. But considering, before we even tackle some of these subjects regarding human responsibility, man's will versus God's will, predestination, election, these great truths that are taught in the Bible, let's remember that God is just, that God is righteous, that God is holy, that he is pure, that he is perfect, that he is mighty and almighty. And along with that, he is absolutely kind and generous and loving and forgiving. One of the most highlighted and quoted verses in the Bible, about the Bible, is in the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, we're told, chapter 34, that he is good and he is gracious and he is kind and that he is forgiving. But he will by no means clear the guilty, because God is a perfect and holy God. The way to know this God is through his son Jesus. Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." To know God is the purpose of life. And you will never discover why you're here and what life is about till you first discover God's plan and God's purpose for your life. Now, to say that God is sovereign, and speaking of this sovereign rule of God, the sovereignty of God, to say God is sovereign is to say that he has absolute authority. He is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful, so he is free to do always as he chooses. That's sovereignty. And the Bible is full of this from cover to cover. We may never fully comprehend it. Certainly this side of eternity, we won't fully understand it. How God is in control of everything in our lives. 1 Chronicles 29:11 to 12 says, "Yours, O God, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. You rule over all." Some deny him, some defy him, and yet God is in charge and in control of all things. His eternal purposes will be fulfilled with you or without you. Before time began, you were in the heart and mind of God. Now, I know that blows my mind. I'm sure it does yours as well, to think that God himself could have a plan beforehand in your life. In the infinite heart and mind of God, there was a plan to save each one of us. The Bible says the Lamb of God, Jesus, was slain before the foundation of the world. And God loved you and knew you before you were born and in your mother's womb. You were made, you were fashioned, you were formed by God himself. God chose you to be his child. He elected you and selected you, if you are a believer in Christ, as his chosen one. You are chosen. We are chosen in Christ. It is Christ that seals the deal, that chooses us and then controls us by his Spirit. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, that you would go and bring forth much fruit." So you are God's child, not because one day you decided to follow Jesus, but because in the heart and love of God, he brought you into his family. Now, does that mean, as some suggest, that Jesus died only for the elect? There's a brand of theology that moves through these issues with profound and persuasive words regarding the election and the selection and the predeterminations of God. The bottom line ultimately becomes, who chooses? Does God choose you, or do you choose God? Well, God chooses you, but you must also choose him. John 3:16, let me just give you some verses that show us that all of us are capable of responding to the grace and the sovereign love of God. Verse 16 of John 3. You know this one if you've been around the church. For God so loved the world, everyone, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes, that means everyone can believe in him, should not perish but have eternal life. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned, everyone, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ died for all. Christ did not die only for the elect. He died for all. All can experience his love. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, who? All. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And then here's one from John, 1 John chapter 2. He is the propitiation, that is the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Revelation 22 and verse 17, the last invitation of the Bible. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life freely and without price. Whosoever will may come. God has a will. His will be done. But you also, God has given you a will and the response mechanism, which is faith, to believe and to trust in God. But while God chooses and in his predetermined plans, he knows who will choose him and who will not choose him. And yet, all have the opportunity to respond to the gospel. This is why we must preach the gospel. This is why we pray for missionaries and send missionaries and evangelize, because everyone needs Jesus. Amen. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing or wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who desires, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Now, take a deep breath. God chooses. God calls us. God selects us. God elects us. God brings us. We don't find God, he finds us. His Spirit moves in our hearts. This is all the work of God. It is for him and by him and unto him. It's all him. But in God's plan and God's purposes, because he wanted children to love him and follow him, he didn't make us puppets on a string, predetermined robots. But he gave us a part of the divine image, which is now shattered by sin, but yet a part of the divine image of God. He gave us the right, if you will, and the responsibility to choose him. So God chose you, and he's calling you, and he's choosing you today. He has elected you. Do you want to know whether you're among the elect or not? Then come to Jesus today. Settle that issue. I like what D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, used to say. He said, oh God, save the elect, and then elect some more. And it is the heart of God more and more to bring people to himself. There's no limits to the grace of God, no boundaries to the power of the blood of Jesus. He will save all who will come to him. But we also know that some choose not to believe and not to receive and reject him. And thus, in our passage we read, we see God's perfect righteousness in judging those who reject his sovereign will and purpose. We do have a responsibility. We do have an accountability to God. And so he talks about Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. You know, no doubt the story of Pharaoh. Even if you hadn't read the Bible, you've seen the movie, no doubt. And Moses and the Ten Commandments and the Pharaoh, the powerful ruler of the world. And the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt. And God sent his servant Moses to say, let my people go. And Pharaoh began to refuse 10 times. Moses went to him, and 10 times he rejected God's plan and God's purpose to let his people go. With that 10 rejections came 10 plagues, judgments upon the people of Egypt. None who survived unless they were under the blood of the Passover. But Pharaoh is an example of someone, because it speaks of Pharaoh hardening his heart against God, that God hardened his heart, and that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. 20 times, it says in that Exodus experience, that Pharaoh hardened his heart, or that God hardened his heart. 10 times Pharaoh hardened his heart, 10 times it says God hardened his heart. So which is it? The answer is both. Pharaoh had every opportunity to receive the mercy and the grace of God by obeying God and letting the people of God go. And yet he was recalcitrant, he was rebellious. And as he did, he would begin hardening his heart stronger and stronger, stronger until it became like concrete. And so God hardened his heart because Pharaoh was hardening his own heart. And God hardened his heart. He said, all right, then your will be done. C.S. Lewis used to put it this way. There are 2 kinds of people in the world. Those who say, not my will, God, but your will be done. And those to whom God says, okay, let your will be done. Yes, there is a will. And the question is, will you respond to the will of God? Because great judgment came upon Pharaoh and Egypt because they resisted the plan and the purposes of God. They turned away from God's Passover and way out. He hardened his heart. He first hardened his own heart, and then God hardened his heart. So, that can happen to you. That can happen to you who hear God's word, who are given God's gospel, that Christ died for you and rose again, that you can have eternal life, God's plan for your life, that you can be set free from the power of sin and death. But you can also say no and no and resist again and again and again, like Pharaoh, hardening your heart, resisting your will. You can become cold and callous and concrete. The good news is God sent his beloved son. He died and rose so that you could have eternal life. But if you go to hell, it will be over the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ because you choose to do it. And harden your heart. So how is your heart? The writer of Hebrews says, do not harden your heart due to the deceitfulness of sin. Romans 2:5 says, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Did you hear that? As you say no and no and no and no and no and no and no to God, your heart gets harder and harder and harder. Your soul gets more callous. Proverbs says, he who resists the Lord, he who being often reproved resists the Lord, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. You don't judge God. God judges you. The good news is that Jesus took your judgment and your sin and your rebellion and satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. Jesus died for you, and he will give you a new heart. He'll take that cold, stony heart and give you a brand new heart. Romans 10, 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So here is the way I view it. On this side of heaven, there is a door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we stand on this side of eternity and we see a door. This door to eternity, this door to heaven. And on our side of the door, it says, whosoever will may come. And if we walk through that door by faith and trust in Christ, whosoever will means you, whosoever will means me. And so we walk through that door and we get on the other side and life is over. The door closes behind us and we turn around and you know what that door says on the other side? You didn't choose me, but I chose you. It's a matter of perspective. God is sovereign. He has a purpose. He has a plan. You're accountable to God. You are made by God for God. He has a right to do with you anything he chooses to do with you or with me. But with that great sovereignty comes great accountability. Why? The last verse that we read spoke of this. For the mercy and the grace, the redemptive promises of God, so that you could be saved and be a light to the nations, be a light to the world. So would you bow your heads with me and everyone praying together? I've said it many, 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 many times over the years at this time of decision and invitation. You're not here by chance. You're not online right now by accident, but by divine appointment. God is choosing you to be his child. God is electing you now to be a part of his forever family. But you must say yes, and you must respond, for whosoever will may come. Whoever believes shall have eternal life. So I'm going to ask you to pray and receive Christ and believe today. And believing in Christ, to repent of your sins and to ask Jesus to come into your life to be your Savior and your Lord. This is your moment. This is your destiny. This is God's time. And it's your time. So pray, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. I do trust you, believing that you died for me, for my sins, that you rose again on the third day, that you are Lord. I call on your name. Lord, save me. Jesus, save me. And with that, open your heart to him, because God, you see, has opened your heart. And now you just say, come on in, Lord. Come into my life. Be mine now and forever. And I will be yours, your child, throughout all eternity. If you're praying that prayer online, text the word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, to 74788, or raise a hand. Invite Christ into your life, and then let us know by texting in and telling us of your decision to follow Christ. We have materials we want to give you, a Bible, and we'll encourage you in your faith. Right here in this room, I'm going to ask you to come forward. In the balcony, we have ministers in the balcony. We have ministers here on the lower level. And as you are praying this prayer to receive Christ, I'm going to ask you to come forward and openly confess him. Take that step of faith and declare your faith this morning in Christ. If you've not been baptized, come and let's make an appointment for your baptism. What a beautiful testimony we saw today. From 7 to 81 people say, yes, I want to follow Christ and I want to be a believer baptized in the name of the Lord. So why don't you come today? There are others, you want to join this church. God is leading you and His Spirit is pointing you to Prestonwood to be a part of this church. So why don't you come and join the church today and be an active, faithful member and join us in the mission that we have to take the gospel to our world. Thank you, Lord, for this time of decision. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your divine sovereignty that brought us to this moment and to this miracle in people's lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.